We recently put out our quarterly employment monitor, and this particular issue looks at the issue of low-paid employment, the increasing numbers of people in Ireland who are earning low wage, the implications for their living standards, the gap between the minimum wage and what's actually required to live a decent standard of living in Ireland, and what government can do about it. So the first thing to note is that the minimum wage in Ireland is currently €9.25 per hour. Now, government has indicated that they plan to increase that by 30 cents per hour in the upcoming budget. But even after that increase, it's still going to be approximately 20% below the €11.70, which is the living wage. The living wage being a calculation of what it costs for a single person earning or working 39 hours per week to earn what's considered a minimal or the minimum socially acceptable standard of living in Ireland. So this gap is becoming increasingly problematic due to the increased numbers of people in low-paid employment. The CSO recently released figures regarding minimum wage employment, estimating that about 10% of workers are earning the minimum wage or below. There's also tens of thousands of more people on top of that who are earning between the national minimum wage and the living wage. And the implication for those people is that they have to go without essentials in life to make ends meet.
The government isn't likely to do more to increase the minimum wage. I mean, if they did, they're going to run into a lot of opposition from businesses and so on. But, you know, you looked at some other options and other solutions that could be brought in to maybe help people who, at least help people who are living on this minimum wage.
That's right. I mean, the 30 euro cents per hour that the government has indicated is quite welcome, particularly in light of the fact that they only increased it by 10 cents last year. And a lot of these increases are being eaten up by the rising cost of things like accommodation. People are aware of the situation with housing and rental in Ireland at the moment, and also increased energy costs. But there are many ways in which government can close the gap between the living wage and the minimum wage without increasing the minimum wage. Ireland, for example, is currently, as I mentioned, in the midst of an accommodation crisis. Now, if government were to properly tackle, say, the social housing waiting lists, what that would do, apart from bringing people into the giving people homes who require social housing, that would move thousands of people out of the private rental sector and reduce demand for that, thus bringing down the price. Government could better create conducive conditions for private sector building, which of course would increase the supply of housing there and bring down the cost of accommodation that way. Ireland has a fairly poor level of social provision in comparison to our Western European counterparts, and I'm talking about in the areas like healthcare, education, childcare, public transport. So if we had a well-subsidised systems of these things, then that would bring down the cost of living for people who are working. For example, they mightn't have to pay private health insurance. They would have decent subsidised healthcare, which would be less of a barrier to re-entering the workforce for a lot of people. And also, if you had a decent public transport system outside of the main cities, then for many people they wouldn't find it necessary to run a car in order to get to and from work. So these are a lot of considerations that government can take into account as well.
A lot of these ideas get discussed every year and people are always looking for new solutions. But, you know, then something unexpected comes along and it becomes harder. Like, for example, you're talking about the accommodation, and accommodation was very hard back in 2007. But actually now, even despite having had a recession and all of that, accommodation is even harder for people, particularly people who are renting. So, you know, it's very hard to foresee everything. There's always something that comes up, no matter what changes you make, that seem to make things harder for people.
Well, something like the accommodation sector or the accommodation crisis that we're experiencing could have been foreseen. Social Justice Ireland has been talking about it for several years now. The problem started off with when the government essentially privatised the building of social housing and removed the onus from the state and from local authorities, and created a situation whereby if the private sector building industry collapses, then social housing will go with it. You had a situation where at one point less than 100 social housing units were being completed in Ireland in a year over the course of at one point during the recession. Last year we had 500, and now the government is talking about how wonderful it is that we have 2,000 are going to be created over the next 12 months. 2,000 completed units won't even cover the number of people who are going to go on the waiting list over the next 12 months, would be a sound prediction, given that there are now 90,000 households, not individuals, on local housing authority waiting lists. So most of the problems that Ireland is experiencing, they might seem as if they're coming out of the blue or by accident, but the policy is not accidental, and these things, they can be foreseen through the actions of policymakers. And I suppose what we'd be calling for is more of a some more foresight, long-term planning in politics, not just looking ahead to the next general election and for how long you're going to be in charge. Ireland 2040, for example, is the national planning framework that Social Justice Ireland is delighted to be a part of at the moment. It's a sort of a combination of the old national spatial strategy and a planning framework for what Ireland's going to look like in 20 years' time. And more initiatives like that would be very welcome. And we're delighted that government seems to be engaging quite constructively on this at the moment.
But I mean, why aren't governments, or why didn't governments engage more in this in the past? You know, when they took themselves out of social welfare housing, I'm not sure why they even made the decision to do that. But surely in doing that, they must have seen that that was going to have a negative knock-on effect. You know, why the government doesn't really seem to be motivated to reduce inequality or to make housing any easier. People aren't seeing any great motivation from them.
It's difficult to know exactly why they would do that. It might be down to a sort of an ideological thing, the idea that markets will provide in a more efficient manner than the state, for example. That might be true in a lot of areas. For example, you know, your bread and your milk that you receive delivered to your doorstep every morning or down at the bakery or whatever. But it's not really the case for a lot of public services that are usually most efficiently delivered by the state and delivered in the most equal manner as well by the state, as opposed to by private concerns that will have profit at the heart of things. I mean, relying on, if you consider housing to be an economic commodity, well, that's one thing. But for most of us, it's not an investment. It's somewhere that we live. And to take that out of the hands of the state and put it in the hands of, say, of private developers solely, and rely on them and rely on the market for the provision of something that's an absolute essential for living, is just, from our point of view, is completely wrong. And now Ireland is going to be experiencing the negative repercussions of this for at least 10 years, because this isn't going to be solved in the lifetime of this government or the next. We need a long-term plan to deal with the crisis in housing that's been built up. And Social Justice Ireland released our National Social Monitor last week, where we talked about how government essentially needs, unless they can come up with a realistic plan to build these 90,000 units that are required by the households on the waiting list, then they're going to have to admit failure on this policy, because the numbers have been there for several years now. This has been talked about by politicians and media commentators for the last few years. And what we're seeing is more reports and more talk about it and very little action, very little movement in the direction that needs to go, which is to find external funding on top of the normal revenue flows that we have at the moment, because with the money that's coming in at the moment in taxation, there's not enough fiscal space, if you want to call it that, to build the necessary units. We need a special purpose vehicle or a semi-state body that's going to look after this, is going to be able to raise the finance necessary to close the gap between supply and demand in the housing market.
I mean, what hope could there be in terms of the next budget for somebody who is, you know, on minimum wage, just realising that accommodation is spiraling out of their affordability? And, you know, what are they going to be hoping for that might happen in the next budget that could ease somebody or ease the position of somebody who is in that situation?
It's very difficult for somebody in that situation to look with much hope at what's coming up in the budget. Now, Social Justice Ireland submitted our budget choices to many government departments over the last few weeks. We launched it back in July, which provides the government with a lot of options. The idea that the budget constitutes the fiscal space, which is being estimated at between 350 and 500 million at the moment, that's just a fallacy. The government has several options for what they can do to increase revenue and ways in which they can spend that to make a more just and fair society. So some of the proposals that Social Justice Ireland have made include instituting a minimum effective corporation tax rate of 6%. So that's not going to affect the vast majority of firms in Ireland, but for anybody who's paying below that 6% through whatever means that might be, they will be asked to pay their fair share to society. That would raise, we reckon, in the region of €1 billion, if not a little bit more, which would create great scope for funding for tackling some of the issues that you mentioned, whether that be increases to social welfare payments, for the refundable tax credits that I talked about earlier, for bringing in universal pension that we've been proposed, and a good number of others. So we've gotten some good engagement from ministers over the last few months when we've been meeting them. The proof will be in the pudding, I suppose, with the budget and what comes out in October.